Pastor Jeff Johnson with a question for you to mull over.
You hear these messages being shared of the victory, the abundant life. Yeah, right. I ain't having any. What are you talking about? Well, you might be, could be, you're trapped in Romans chapter 7. The question is, where are you at in your spiritual journey? Are you in the wilderness of defeat or the land of victory?
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Well, it is time once again for Sound Doctrine, and we are just getting started with our new journey through Joshua. The people of Israel are poised, ready to enter into the promised land after being in the wilderness for 40 years. Our teacher, Pastor Jeff, believes this is a marvelous picture of the abundant, victorious life God wants for us. Sadly, many are settling for far less. Let's find our place, Joshua chapter 1, and see how to enter in to the promised land ourselves.
This is our goal as we go into Cana. This is God's goal for us. As Israel was going in, God wanted his best for them. He wants the best for us, and he wants us to enter into that best. He's delivered us from bondage. What do you mean? Well, he delivered me from sin that was working in my life, killing me, wiping me out. He delivered me from that wickedness of sin, the sorrow, the sadness, and the sickness of sin. And that's sin. That's what sin does. But he delivered me when I received his son from that horrible pit. And he's brought us into this incredible, abundant, spirit-filled life. It's kind of a place of fruitfulness, you know. Now my hands, my voice, my ears, my mouth can be used to the glory of God, where before it was used to curse God and to deal drugs or whatever, you know. I mean, look at how God has changed us. So a life of fruitfulness and a life of usefulness. This is milk and honey, man. There's nothing greater than to be used of the Lord. It might be just touching a small kid as far as sharing the gospel with them, or an adult that you meet somewhere and you share the gospel with. It might be just a little something. You plant seeds. There's nothing more greater than that. Over in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 7, let me read it to you. He says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows." He saw the sin was just killing them, bringing them down. "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, all the Jebusites and the Termites and all of them." They were all there. He said, "I'm getting you out of here." He set them free. So he first delivered them from Egypt, which is what? A type of the world that we live in. Egypt is a type of the world. They were delivered out of that worldly atmosphere that was killing them. More than that, they went through that whole thing of Passover. Passover is an interesting type because they had to kill an innocent lamb, spread the blood on the doorposts, perfect cross. And then those houses that didn't have the blood on the doorpost would have death and pain and sorrow and sickness. And they'd lose the firstborn. But God passed over those doors that had the blood. And the blood of what? The Lamb. What a beautiful type as they experienced that deliverance, that salvation. And as they were leaving Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. God parted it, and that was their water baptism. Pharaoh's army then, as they turned around, was destroyed, and that's their deliverance from sin and death, the two destroyers of men's lives, sin and death. See, the Christians are delivered from both of those destroyers and from the enemy, Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil, our three enemies. We still have them, don't we? There's enemies in the land of milk and honey, isn't there? Here we are in the promised land. We've entered into Christ, the fullness of our salvation, and yet I got to go through trials, but that's all right. They have their purpose, and they're going to have to fight, and they're going to have to go through trials. And that's just part of life. Welcome to life. You know, somebody said, I don't know about life. It's just so consistent, and just tomorrow will be another day. And that's true. And it is consistent, and it is continuous. But he's wanting to be in the center of it. It makes all the difference in the world. So they go through their experiences. They're delivered out of Egypt, go through the Red Sea. They're crucified unto the world. And then they go through this wilderness experience. And you go, oh, no. You mean, does everybody have to go through it? Yeah. Some go 4 days. Some go 4 weeks, 4 months. Some go even 40 years. They had to go 40 years. Wilderness experience. Man, that really got them in shape in more ways than one. And after that, Joshua is being brought out of the wilderness. Now, he's already been 40 years in Egypt and now 40 years in the wilderness, and he's learned some things. You can't but learn when you're in the wilderness. Paul was 2 years in Arabia. Wilderness experiences are part of our growing up in the Lord. Now, what's beautiful about it is that it brings forth fruit in our lives. So here's Joshua brought into the promised land from wandering to a spirit-filled life now. It's different. And Joshua here teaches us that in the land, or in the Lord, so to speak, there is a constant possessing. There is battles to be fought on a constant basis. It's a picture of the Christian struggle that Romans does so well to describe to us. Romans chapter 6 talks about that we need to reckon the old man dead, that as Christ died, so I died. So sin no longer rules and reigns in my life. The Lord now rules and reigns in my life. That we're to reckon, we're to put to our account, that is a truth. So we're to remind ourselves on a daily basis that sin no longer reigns, Christ reigns. That's a beautiful teaching. Then the victory goes all the way through Romans chapter 8, walking in the Spirit. But the sad thing is how many Christians today fall short of this victory and they settle for the wilderness experience of Romans 7. Now, what's interesting is Romans 6 goes into Romans 7 and Paul begins to cry out. He is really going through it in his walk. And some of you might really identify with what he says. Over in Romans 7, let me just read a couple verses. He says in verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. You know, and some of you are going, amen. You know, yeah, I'm at that spot. For to will is present with me. Oh, I want to serve the Lord. But how to perform that which is good, I don't find it. For the good that I would, I don't do. But the evil which I would not do, that's what I do. So he's just all going through it, man. He's saying, man, I try to do good, but I find myself doing bad. And I'm sinning. I'm sinning all the time. Man, I'm blowing it all the time. I just don't have a clue what's going on. I'm confused. And there's a lot of Christians that live there. It's enough of Jesus to be miserable, not enough to be joyful. It's a place that you just don't want to live. And you get bummed at yourself because you say, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to have victory. I'm supposed to be happy. What's up? I'm bummed. I'm having defeat. And what's up? And you get angry. You hear these messages being shared of the victory, the abundant life. Yeah, right. I ain't having any. What are you talking about? Well, you might be, could be, you're trapped in Romans chapter 7. The question is, where are you at in your spiritual journey? Are you in the wilderness of defeat or the land of victory? Are you in a constant struggle with your enemy, or are you experiencing victory through his power in your warfare? The question is, where are you at? What are you doing? I love it because he goes on in Romans 7 and he says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I mean, Paul at the end of his whole looking at everything, he goes, "I'm such a wretched person." Well, the Bible says that. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Every single one of our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Oh, wretched people that we are. And he cries out, oh, and then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So he cried out and he said, who's going to deliver me? Jesus Christ. He is the answer to this dilemma, to this weird lifestyle that I've been living. You know, going to church and yet outside of church, it's sinning like crazy. You know, be an angel in church and a devil outside of church and confused about the whole thing. Just not understanding what's going on. Who will deliver me? You see, this is God's desire to deliver us, give us victory in Jesus Christ and him alone. That's why we call our New Hope Addiction Ministry that meets every Tuesday, we have a one-way God. And it's not 12 steps, it's one step. What's that one step? What is it? Jesus, you know. And he just delivers. He does everything that needs to be done. Notice verse 2. Moses, going back to Joshua 1. "Moses, my servant, is dead." So God's speaking to Joshua. And he says, "Therefore, I want you to arise, go over this Jordan, cross over this river, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now, I found a scripture in Luke chapter 9 in verse 62. Listen to what he says here. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So Joshua, don't even turn around. Don't even think about it. Remember, Moses had the children of Israel, and they're going, "The leeks, the onions. We want to go back home. You brought us out here to die. Why are we out here in this wilderness? What are you brought us out here to kill us?" And they were griping and wanting to go back. No. Don't look back. You're not fit for the kingdom of God if you look back. You keep going. You see the steps of faith that you need to take, and you start taking it right now, is what he's saying to Joshua. Over in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13 and 14, if you want to jot that down, Philippians 3, he says, "Brethren, I count myself not having to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So what is the prize? Come on. Oh, it's over Jordan. Let's go into the land of promise. That's the prize. Let's take steps of faith to enter in. So this is God's commission to Joshua. And yet, we see first Moses had to be buried and he had to die. It kind of says that the law could never bring. Remember, we already talked about pride, self, good works, no matter what it might be. None of those things can get us into that place of blessing. Once we receive Jesus, then we begin our journey. And he paid the price. So he has all power. Jesus said himself, "I have all authority over our enemy. Now, God is going to reveal himself as a God with all power, all authority over the enemy as they go into the land. So what is the Lord saying? He wants to empower us as we receive in faith. So I want you to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, Joshua knew what was in there. Joshua had already been in there. He saw the giants. He saw the walls. He knew trouble's in there, you know? He knew there's trouble. And God's telling him, go into the land of trouble. But he also believed God for good things to happen in the land. So I want everyone to enter in. Notice it says that in verse 2. But it's interesting that Gad, the tribe of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh didn't go into the land. Oh, they said, we'll fight with you and we'll go and into the land and fight your enemies. But once we're done, we're going to cross on the east side of Jordan and we're going to settle on this side because we like this grassy land for our cattle. We're raising cattle and we got a lot of them. And this is the place where we want to live, on this side of Jordan. God says, I want you all to go in. And they said, no, we don't want to. I want to be on this side. It's almost like settling for second best. And that's exactly what it was. We don't want God's full promise, full salvation. We want what we see. We want what we can get now. And so they went in the flesh and lived on the east side. And the first thing you see is the Assyrians coming down. And guess who the first ones to get the full blow of it as the Assyrians came down? It was Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Later on, and that's in Numbers 32. Later on, you look at Mark chapter 5. Interesting, Jesus comes over there to the area of the Gadareans, the tribe of Gad. That's where they settled, on the other side. And there they meet this man, demon-possessed. And you know the story. He casts the demons out, the pigs run over the cliff, and they kill themselves, and the whole village comes out. And here's this village looking at Jesus, looking at the pigs, looking at this man who they knew was demon-possessed, who was in his right mind, clothed, sitting there smiling at them, saying, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out and seeing my deliverance. And they weren't excited about that. They looked at all their pigs that were floating belly up in the Galilee. What did you do? What do you do? Well, wait a minute. Weren't you guys raising cattle at one time? You guys really got weird. Now you're raising swine? Piggies? That's illegal stuff, man. As far as the Jews are concerned, that's a no-no, right? So Jesus just put that illegal business right out of business. And all the pigs are... But then these guys in this village say, Jesus, get out of here. Get in your boat and get out of here. You see, what happens when you settle for second best, you are in danger of turning your Messiah away from your life, from the blessings he wants to give to you in your life. When you get caught up in this world and you get caught up in the things of this world and you think that is the answer, it's not the promised land, man. You're getting ripped off. You're getting sold a bill of goods, man. You're being blinded by the enemy. And he's seeking to set you up for a fall. Don't go for it, man. Back off and just begin to look to the Lord, because he's the one who's our deliverer. He's the one that will give us victory. Well, they didn't do that. Verse 3. Every place, he tells Joshua, the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and that have I given unto you, wherever you walk, as I said unto Moses. So God doesn't change. I said it to Moses. I'm saying it to you. Same thing. But it's up to you, because you got to start treading, right? From the wilderness of this Lebanon, north, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Incredible. We're talking 300,000 square miles. 300,000 square miles. It's all yours, God says, from these markers. And it's up to you to go in and possess your possessions now. Every place that your foot treads. Now, what's interesting about this, I remember hearing a story about a guy that robbed a convenience store. And as he robbed the convenience store, he went in with this antique Civil War gun to rob it. So he robs it, and he gets $125, you know. He thinks he's real. Wow, this is great, man. And he sticks it in his pocket, and he's running away. Of course, they catch him. They always catch him, you know. And they catch him with this gun. This gun, come to find out, was worth $23,000. And sometimes we're the same way. We're going up robbing convenience stores, thinking, oh, man, I need this. I got to get it. I need it. And yet we're sitting there with the riches of the Lord, not even understanding how rich we are in Christ, not even taking it in and just saying, you know, man, whether I'm filled, whether I'm hungry or filled, doesn't matter. I've found joy. It's in the Lord. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. I've got the joy of the Lord. I'm rich in the things of God. Where this world is so poor, it's so skinny and dying. I mean, you look at people and you think, oh, they had so much. I wish I had what they had. No, no, no. You know, you need to hunger and thirst for Him and the things of God. We got it wrong. This guy never knew what he had. Gosh, Lord, show us what we have. The most they possessed during this time, well, actually, it was during David and Solomon's time, the high years of Israel. The most land that they possessed was 30,000 square miles. That's it. Do you know that's one-tenth of what God gave to them? One-tenth is all that they ever possessed, that they enjoyed. And so it goes with us. Do you remember when Noah was looking out of the ark, a dove came? And it's something interesting that it says in Genesis that Noah reached out and grabbed the dove and pulled it in. It didn't land. He reached out and grabbed it and pulled it in. I think this is what we need to focus on more than ever. Because as we believe, as we reach out for the dove, so to speak, as we trust in the Lord, as we rely upon the Lord, as we cling to the Lord, as we adhere to the Lord, we will receive only that which we claim by faith. That's all we're going to get, is what we do as far as taking what God says to us, what we're to be doing, what we're to be receiving. Now, we need to be concerned about what we are really getting out of this thing. Is it just a Sunday go to meeting or Wednesday night and that's it? Or is this a whole lifestyle, a whole life? And if you're going to go for it, then go for it. Don't just play with Christianity, play with churchianity, but get involved in it. Let it envelop you. So you become a part of what God's talking about. And you're saying, God, you gave me life. But you gave me more than life. You gave me abundant life. And you're blessing. And you're blessing. And I love it. And I love it. And begin to walk in that.
Well, we are just getting our feet wet here in our new study of Joshua on sound doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been uncovering the victorious life that God wants for us, so we too can enter into the promised land. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org to purchase the CD. Call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen through the Calvary Chapel Downey app or by podcast. You know, one of the things my family loves to do is read the Christmas story aloud Christmas Day. How about you? You know, here's an idea. This year, why don't you allow Pastor Chuck Smith to do it for you? We'd love to send you a CD today that features Pastor Chuck reading the Christmas story. I know you and your family will be blessed as he does. It's called A Christmas Love. You can order it right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or if you would rather call, here's our number once again, 800 253-7553. Also, we'd like to remind you that your gifts help to make this program happen each and every day. So if you appreciate Sound Doctrine and you'd like to see it continue in the year ahead, you can donate safely and securely at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. One last request, and that is to simply email us. We'd like to know how the Lord is using Sound Doctrine in your life. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through your generous support. So far.